Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Would be lovely if you drop us a rating in your podcatcher, iTunes, etc. And along with that, if you want a commercial-free version of this show that is also extended and it comes out early, it's like Sunday afternoon's Main Event, then you can sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. We may be on the radio, however, this is how the show is actually supported. It's all through you guys and the Patreon. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Thank you.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
Conor McGregor breaks his leg. Tommy N tells Aleister Black it was all a dream, so cue AEW's Malakai. And I wonder if Jimmy Uso drove himself to SmackDown this past week. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event. We're broadcasting across Canada on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network and powered by Great Lakes Beer. My name is Jason Agnew, and we've got another packed show for you tonight, including our weekly check-in with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter to chat about how Jimmy Uso can have his third police altercation in real life and still appear this week on WWE SmackDown. Then, on the heels of the Great American Bash, bartender Dave will join me to look at the NXT fallout and the many moving roster parts, including his favorite, Toni Storm, departing for SmackDown. We'll also test a couple patrons on what they remember from the week that was in a recap edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. All of that is to come, so as the mouth would say, let's get down to it and get you caught up with the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday Night's Main Event.
For the third time in 2 years, WWE wrestler Jimmy Uso, real name Jonathan Fatu, is in trouble with the law due to alcohol, and for the second time, it involves a DUI. Uso was released from a Pensacola, Florida jail at 9 a.m. Eastern this past Tuesday after being booked on a misdemeanor DUI charge with additional citations for speeding and running a red light. His bond was set at $500, but that, however, did not affect him from appearing on SmackDown on Friday night. Priorities, friends. Priorities. The big surprise of the week was the debut of Tommy End, a.k.a. Aleister Black, now known as Malakai Black, on AEW Dynamite. Black was released on June 2nd along with several other WWE talents, but Dave Meltzer reported that he only had a 30-day non-compete. PW Insider reported the reason it was only 30 days was due to a clerical error, as when Black got called up to the main roster, WWE didn't adjust this contract to the standard 90-day clause. On Wednesday, Black had released a very cool video on his Instagram that alluded and made fun of his WWE run as all being a dream. If you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out. After his debut, he then took to his wife, Thea Trinidad's podcast, aka recently re-debuted WWE performer Zelina Vega, saying it was a WWE clerical error that allowed him to debut early, and his intention was to keep it under wraps. Only Cody and a few others knew, including AEW security. He came up with the idea of the multiple blackouts throughout the night, and he envisions playing a heel in the company, as he already counts that debut as one of the top three highlights in his career. The injury angle on SmackDown involving Bayley was not just an angle. Reports from various outlets have it as an ACL tear and will have Bayley out for 9 months. Fightful has reported that the injury was a freak accident that happened during the mandatory training sessions WWE is making their talents undergo as they return back to the road. As we saw on SmackDown, Carmella will now take Bayley's place in her match versus Bianca Belair, and the match has been moved off the Money in the Bank card and instead will take place this Friday on SmackDown. That is, of course, in front of a live crowd for the first time in many, many months. It was a big week for Tegan Nox as she completed the WWE trifecta We all saw her make her debut tankside with Shotzi on SmackDown, and she also chased away Candace on NXT, but on top of that, she had a dark match before Raw. WWE is really putting a lot of faith into a woman that has torn her ACL in both legs, causing her to miss significant time. The injury that took place in August was the third time tearing her ACL since signing with the company in 2017. John Pollock of Post Wrestling reports that WWE has already taped the final episode of Raw at the Thunderdome. It was done this past Tuesday. SmackDown returns to live crowds this Friday, and then we get a special just 1 week later. That's right, Friday, July 23rd, the episode of SmackDown will be taking place from two different locations. WWE and the Rolling Loud Music Festival have announced a new partnership that'll bring SmackDown to Rolling Loud Miami on July 23rd. Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair's main event match from WrestleMania 37 took home the Best WWE Moment Award at the 2021 ESPYs. It was revealed on Thursday that John Cena will be part of the cast for the spy thriller Argylle. Henry Cavill, Sam Rockwell, Bryce Dallas Howard, Bryan Cranston, Catherine O'Hara, Cena, and Samuel L. Jackson are all listed as appearing in the movie. That's quite the eclectic cast. Pop star Dua Lipa will also be making her acting debut in it. What a wow. Apparently, the movie will start filming in August in Europe. Of course, the reason why I am putting this in the news pack is because that leaves a big question on whether Cena booked out for Saturday, August 21st, that being the date of SummerSlam. As we continually talk about Money in the Bank and SummerSlam, don't forget Impact will be putting on their Slammiversary show next Saturday night. The main event is Kenny Omega defending the Impact World Championship versus Sammy Callahan, and Slam Wrestling's Bob Kapoor will join me on next week's show to chat about the fallout from the event. Kota Ibushi will miss his second consecutive New Japan event due to the COVID-19 vaccine side effects. New Japan has announced that Ibushi has been pulled from Sunday's Night 2 of Summer Struggle in Sapporo event. Ibushi was also pulled from Night 1 on Saturday for the same reason. Chris Romero, better known as Chris Youngblood in professional wrestling, has passed away at the age of 55. Chris is the son of Ricky Romero, a well-known wrestler in the Amarillo, Texas area, who ended up having three sons in professional wrestling: Ricky, Chris, and Jay Youngblood. Jay would be the most popular of the three, going on to team with Ricky Steamboat. And in case you didn't see these social media posts, I just wanted to share a, hey, wanna feel old? Anniversary for you. This past Tuesday was the 25th anniversary of the NWO forming at Bash at the Beach 1996. WWE's YouTube channel uploaded the full Bash at the Beach 1996 main event, where Hulk Hogan was revealed as Scott Hall and Kevin Nash's partner. And finally, despite all the hype going into their trilogy fight, the main event of UFC 264 had a bit of an anticlimactic ending as Dustin Poirier defeated Conor McGregor by first-round TKO after McGregor broke his tibia at the end of the round. This will no doubt lead to number four between these two guys. I'm not buying it, but hey, maybe you're still wooed by McGregor. I'm tired. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come on back. Dave Meltzer, we will check in with next, and then we've got Turnbuckle Trivia and Bartender Dave later. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're doing so on the iHeartRadio Talk Network. If you don't want to see me
dancing with somebody. Well, how's your doodle? Rolling Baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box. A whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat, and a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they says. Sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
It is time to take a deeper dive into the news. We, of course, do that with Dave Meltzer, the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. And Dave, I have to say, I was very shocked to see the face of Jimmy Uso all over SmackDown this week after the third police altercation and second DUI in recent years.
Yeah, I had heard during the day that he was there and he was figured into the show, but I also knew that Vince was changing the whole show anyway. But I mean, the deal is that I don't know the complete direction, but he's factored into the right now plans for WrestleMania, and so I guess that they feel that they cannot change plans. But I mean, WrestleMania is a long time away, and they can come up with a reason to take him off TV for a month or something. I'm really surprised at looking the other way on this one, though. You know, it was the first time. I would even be surprised, but the fact that it's a repeated pattern and there's a third incident in, you know, in 2 years, and at that point you got to really ask questions, you know, and it's just like there's an issue there, you know, and it's more than just bad judgment. There's an issue there.
Yeah, and you figure he has been caught and reported three times.
Yes.
Think about all the other times that this has just been commonplace and he's gotten away with it.
You have to look at that and feel that that's the case.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, yeah, if it's one, it could be that freak one. If it's three, I don't want to say it's 50, but, you know, it's like, it's probably a lot more than three.
Now, Dave, I also feel, you know, we're dealing here with a publicly traded company. Is there no responsibility for disciplinary actions or not even disciplinary, but more so to help, I guess, not an employee, but a contracted performer through these clear-cut problems that they are going through?
Well, we both know they have at times, but, you know, yeah, the whole thing is I'm surprised that their attitude is just if we say nothing, it goes away. Especially on this one, because it was not a first offense. So yeah, I think everyone's surprised, and you know, maybe they do something at the pay-per-view, and maybe somehow they do an injury angle. It's possible, but you know, it's possible. Watching the TV, it didn't feel like they were building to that. It just felt like business as usual, and we're just gonna act like nothing ever happened.
Very strange. All right, let's flip over to the other organization. I got to say, I was surprised to see Tommy End, a.k.a. Aleister Black, now Malakai Black, debuting in AEW. Not 90 days. Now, I know that you, Dave, were aware that he was chatting with AEW, but did you know about this contract glitch, essentially, that they ran into?
No, I didn't know that until, like, minutes after it happened, and it was just like, wait a minute, it's only been a month.
Yeah.
And I was told, yeah, he had a 30-day, there was he just had something in the deal where he could opt out, and maybe that's why, well, it's probably not the only reason, but maybe it's part of the reason why WWE really pushed to get him back, because I think that, you know, it was a real quick turnaround, quicker than they really wanted, but you know, and I think from an AEW standpoint, it worked out perfectly, because, you know, Wednesday was the first show on the road, and you know they wanted one surprise on that show. I mean, and they got the one. So, and it was a good one. I think that they handled it really good. And, you know, I mean, it was positioned, you know, he's working with Cody, who's one of the top baby faces. So it's not like he's positioned in the middle or anything. So from his standpoint, it's a good start.
He seems to be very happy. He's already declared that this is one of the top three moments in his career. But the funny thing is, he said so, Dave, on his wife, her podcast, which is Thea Trinidad, a.k.a. Zelina Vega in WWE. I tell you, like, Vince McMahon and friends over at WWE just got to be shaking their heads and be incredibly upset at this with Zelina being back there. And that's one of the reasons this kind of surprised me as well with him going over.
Well, look at this. Zelina Vega came back last week.
Mm.
This week on TV, she wasn't even there. It's
true.
Like they didn't. I mean, she lost the first week, but they also put her in Money in the Bank, so it wasn't like it was a complete burial or anything like that. But there's no follow up, and you know, with WWE, it's not like there's so many people that they put on these shows. So when there's no follow up, Matt, it was very interesting to me that she was not on the show Friday night.
You also got to figure, you know, there's a gap with SmackDown, and that's what we should talk about next, and that is, of course, the injury to Bayley. 9 months here. Is it confirmed we have a torn ACL?
That is what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. The company has not confirmed it, but, yeah, I heard torn ACL, and it's obviously, you know, you could look at the interview, and you could see her left knee all braced up, and we know, I know it was a knee. So 9 months sounds like an ACL because, you know, if it was other ligaments, it would be a shorter period of time. So pretty much, I mean, it's not 100% confirmed, but every road leads to that.
Looking ahead to Money in the Bank, we are a week out right now. Do you have any inclination as to the direction that they're going with both the men's and the women's matches as far as winners go?
No. No.
I don't think they do. Okay.
But I don't know if they do, but I haven't heard. And I mean, like, when it comes to Money in the Bank, I mean, it's like every year afterwards, you know, when it's over, I kind of do hear what happened. And almost every year it changes two or three times in the last week anyway. I mean, there are years where they absolutely know this is where we're going. But most years it's just kind of like the whim of the day of the show. You know, wasn't there 1 year? It changes all the time, and you can tell by the follow-up. In some cases, they do it, and then Vince gets that buyer's remorse thing, and then it's like, now what do I do? You know, like with Otis last year.
Otis, yeah.
You know, it was like they did it because they thought he was popular at the time, and then as soon as they did it, they tried to figure out how to get out of it.
All right. Well, as you said, a whim day of the show, I will hold you to making predictions till next week when I chat with you the day of the actual show. All right. We'll at least get to watch this week's TV before I put your feet to the fire on that one. I mean, speaking of feet to a degree, Conor McGregor losing last night, breaking his leg. All signs here seem to me, Dave, to point to a rematch.
Dana White said that, you know, it's the biggest money fight they can do, even though this one especially, I mean, you never know, but it sure looked like Poirier was going to beat him in the second round. McGregor didn't look, he looked good for about 30 seconds to a minute, and then once he got taken down, he really didn't do a lot. And he was just off all week. I mean, his promos were terrible. And I mean, this was one of the best promo guys I've ever seen in my life, and he was terrible. And his fighting, I mean, he's certainly a step slower. And his stamina is in question. So, you know, the injury is the injury. But he was losing that round and maybe by 10-8 before the injury. So, it's just the reality. And, you know, it's funny because they're both the same age. But one of them, you know, like Poirier looked like a guy in his prime and Conor looked like a guy years past his prime.
Well, you got to figure lifestyle definitely plays into that. And Conor's lifestyle has become rather lavish. But Dave, what about this? You know, Conor, he's missing a step now. He's broken his leg. He comes back. Maybe the fight with Poirier happens. He could lose. And all of a sudden, Georges St-Pierre sitting at home. Do we get our dream at some point, Dave?
I don't think so.
Ah.
And you know what else? I think at that point, I think it's too far gone. I think that if the one fight that he still has left is the third Nate Diaz fight.
Right.
That will always, and he will always be able to do that. Now, you know, there's a question. I don't know how much money he still has left, but I'm sure it's, you know, he's talking like he's going to be a billionaire in 2 years, but, you know, he's so full of it that you don't know it. But he doesn't need to fight. And fighting's a really hard business, especially when you're past your prime. And he even has said when he was younger, you know, he wants to get out early. And he's got the money to get out early. He doesn't really need to, you know, he doesn't need to get his face pounded in. You know, from his perspective, I don't know that, in hindsight, this fight wasn't a good idea. And future fights, I don't know that he's got what it takes to get back to the championship level. So when it comes to that, fighting out, you know, if you're broke or you need to save money or whatever, fighting when you're past your prime but you can still draw is one thing, but I don't sense he needs the money, and if he doesn't need the money, fighting when you're not at your best is probably not a good idea.
Yeah, no doubt. Though many things Conor has done would fall into the category of not a good idea.
Conor's made a lot of mistakes,
yes.
And I think that that's one of the reasons why at 32 he's so much older as a fighter than Dustin Poirier is at 32. And, not just the, you know, I mean, it's just like he got, too, you know, it happens to a lot of people when they get too big too fast. They have a hard time handling it, and Conor certainly was one of those people.
No doubt. All right, finally here, Dave, before we go, there's been a lot of reports this week about Terry Funk and his condition, dealing with dementia, living in an assisted living facility. I know you have spoken to Terry in the past, not recently, but I just wanted to know what we know about Terry Funk, what his condition is like right now.
Yeah, so he's in an assisted living place. It's heartbreaking. The dementia thing has been overblown, but it's not like, you know, his family said, he has his good days and his bad days. The last time I talked to him, which was a couple months ago, like maybe 2 months ago, it was one of his better days. We had a good conversation. I have talked to him when it was a little tougher, but it was never like, when you say like advanced dementia, you know, I've talked to wrestlers with advanced dementia. And it's really sad when it happens, you know, like Nick Bockwinkel and Red Bastine come to mind to me, and there's others, Vern, who I didn't talk to, but you know, the Vern at the end, Vern Gagne.
Well, he killed the man at the end. I mean, that was in the old age home.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, there's like, I mean, where you live, you've seen the stories about Angelo Mosca, and
of
I don't
course.
Know how far where Angelo Mosca is right now. Terry's nowhere near that level.
Right.
I mean, he can carry on a conversation. You could put him on a show. Now, it is true that you know, they filmed him for the Mick Foley A&E thing, and they did not put him on.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a lot of other stuff, you know. It's a sad situation, but it's not that. Hopefully it doesn't get that bad. It would really break my heart. Terry's. You know, I mean, he's someone who I really, really respect, and he's one of the greatest performers the business has ever seen.
Yeah, no doubt. Definitely sad news from the Terry Funk front. All right, Dave, well, that is great. Thank you for the update this week. And as far as The Observer goes, any highlights for this week's coverage?
You know, what the build for Money in the Bank. Obviously, you know, the big thing for this week is Thursday, I think, when they do the pre-sale for Arthur Ashe Stadium and for all the new WWE house shows. I mean, that's become a real interesting thing, watching the ticket sales. And when you see all of these newcomers, you know, Toni Storm and Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Knox and Karrion Kross and Bronson Reed, who haven't started yet but have been getting tryouts, people like that, it all stems, you know, I can't say 100% it all stemmed, but knowing Vince, this is what happens, is he saw those early advances. They should be stronger. You know, they haven't been in these places for a year and a half, and they're promoting the house shows harder than they ever have before, and ticket sales are okay in some places, not so good in others. You know, this coming week in Houston and Fort Worth are very good. But aside from that, Houston, Fort Worth, and Chicago, and there's a Raw in Chicago that's very good. The rest are nothing special, and I think that I know a lot of people were telling me for both AEW and WWE. It's like, oh, the minute they go back on the road, all these tickets are going to sell. People are waiting for it, and I mean, WWE ticket sales are ahead of AEW, but not by much. I mean, they should be double or triple, and they're not. You know, they're probably ahead by slight, and there are markets where AEW is ahead. Miami, they're ahead. Charlotte, they're ahead. Or Miami, they were ahead because they run the show. Was the other one. New York's a big one. New York's a real big one. WWE for the Garden, they did not get off to a big advance. And I know people who think that the Arthur Ashe Stadium's going to like click and sell out like All Out did. And I don't know that that's the case. We'll find out. All Out, I was pretty sure, was going to be a first-day sellout. Arthur Ashe Stadium on a Wednesday, not a pay-per-view. I don't know, but I do think it will outsell the Garden, though.
Yeah, it does look like a unique and exciting event, and we'll know next week and get to chat with you about it when we get your update on the day of Money in the Bank. We'll chat with you in the afternoon, and get ready those predictions, Dave, because I'm going to hold you to it.
Okay, no problem.
Talk to you next week.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Bye-bye. Dave Meltzer, of course, all of his work at WrestlingObserver.com. A break we shall take when we come back. Let's do a little bit of Week That Was trivia that will lead us into the Week That Was of discussion when bartender Dave will join me in a couple segments. Turnbuckle trivia next, though, right here on Sunday night's main event.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses?
If you're a fan of Sunday night's main event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Boris Hagelin.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday night's main event. And let's get into it. We have two guys on the line, two patrons on the line to play the game. First up, Josh is from North Carolina. How you doing, Josh?
I'm good. How about you guys?
You know what? We are doing okay over here. But I know your co-player here, Tim from Florida. Tim, is Elsa passed you by? Any damage? Are you doing okay?
I'm in Orlando. We were perfectly fine. We had some rain, but it's Orlando. It's Florida. It rains every day.
Yeah, it rains every day where we are as well. It's been a very rainy summer. So nonetheless, guys, let's push away the rain and get one of you guys a bright, shiny new T-shirt from ballergear.ca. We're doing turnbuckle trivia, five questions each, the way it's always played. Your topic this week, I decided to just do the week that was. So let's get into it. Josh, your player one. Tim, your player two. Josh, what is Malakai Black's real name?
Tommy End. But no.
Well, you had half of it right. It is Tom. Tom Budgen. Budgen. He's got a weird accent over the U. So that is incorrect. Now, Timothy, to you, what is Zelina Vega's real maiden name?
Oh, I have no clue. I would say Budgen now.
Yes, that's why I said maiden. Correct answer. Her real name is actually Thea Trinidad. So she had used it in several places. So there you go. That is an incorrect answer. Josh, back to you. Who debuted on SmackDown as the partner of Shotzi Blackheart?
Tegan Nox.
That is correct. Very good. All that hype in NXT, and all of a sudden she's up on SmackDown and NXT. Timothy, due to the ripple effect of Bayley's injury, who did Sonya Deville appoint into the Women's Money in the Bank match?
Carmella.
Incorrect. And I thought I might get you. Carmella got the match against Bianca. Liv Morgan was appointed to Money in the Bank. Gotcha. Josh, to you. What was this week's AEW Dynamite called?
Road Rager.
That's correct. Very good. Timothy, MJ's favorite story in Greek mythology involved whom?
Damn it. I watched it too. It was great.
It is great.
Was it David or Hercules, something like that? I can't remember.
Which one?
I'll go with David.
No, you needed Hercules.
Damn it.
Oh, the wrong one. All right, well, it's 2-0 right now. You're not out of it yet, but if Josh gets this, he's mathematically eliminated you. And Josh, let's make it difficult. Who did Kenny Omega have a contract signing with on Impact Wrestling this week?
Sami Callihan.
That is correct, Josh. You got it, because he's facing Sami at Slammiversary next week. Not even Impact could throw Josh's win. Timothy, I hear children in the background. I know you're at a kid's birthday party. Let's get you back on quick to have you play again. Thanks for
now
playing.
Now I'm going to tell them their dad's a loser.
Just
thanks for ruining the kid's party, Josh.
I'm here to ruin days.
Well, hey, I love the back and forth. Tim, we'll have you back on soon. Josh, you got yourself a T-shirt. Thanks for being patrons, guys. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks,
well, how WWE of me was that? It is the day of his child's birthday, and he's booked to be the loser. There you go. So loser dad wanders off. Timothy from Florida there. We'll have him back on soon. Josh will be awarded a Turnbuckle Trivia win, and he will get a T-shirt from ballergear.ca. I sent out the email this week to all of you patrons out there. I'm scheduling in the remainder of the summer and into the fall for Turnbuckle Trivia. Check your inboxes and message me, and we'll get you scheduled on in. If you want to play Turnbuckle Trivia, sign up patreon.com/SNMEradio and hit that Turnbuckle Trivia level. Scheduling more now. Taking a break, coming back, Bartender Dave is next to chat about a lot of what you just heard about in the trivia the week that was our subject. So we go back in time next with Bartender Dave on Sunday night's main event.
I'm Manny Arsenault, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand, 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
Bartender Dave here to let all of my bearded brethren know that we are bringing the High Street Beard Care products to North America. From the darkest reaches of South Africa comes the finest beard oils and grooming products known to man. The highstreetbeardoil.ca. To us, beards are not a trend. They are a way of life. We have four beard oil flavors, spicy, woody, citrus, and earthy. A revolutionary beard jelly that'll leave your beard silky smooth and ridiculously attractive. Beard fertilizers that'll help you grow the biggest and most beautiful beard you can imagine. Also beard paste, beard butter, and stash wax. All available at thehighstreetbeardoil.ca. Join us on the high street and spoil your mane.
Nakamura trying to fight out of the situation here. Corbin able to hook him, and brainbuster on the table! Corbin is taking control. Can he pull off the win to qualify for Money in the Bank?
Baron Corbin, sorry.
Again, trying to create space, some separation. Corbin looks like he's in trouble, guys.
His life or this match?
And Nakamura with a Kinshasa. And just like that, King Nakamura's going to Money in the Bank.
It's good to be king, if just for a while.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. Rounding out the show today, of course, we do say we are your recap of the week of wrestling, and we watch a lot of these shows so you don't have to. So this week I messaged Bartender Dave and said, you need to watch all these shows to save everyone else for doing it. And you did so, didn't you, Bartender Dave?
Hooray! Yeah, I did. I did. I surprised myself, and it's for the love of the fans, and it's what we do just to make everybody else's life that much more enjoyable and that much more easy.
And happy, like Baron Corbin is about to be.
Oh, let's hope so.
Well, obviously, you know, Dave, there's a few characters in the world of wrestling that you have really latched onto. One is Baron Corbin, one is Tony Storm, one is Johnny Gargano, and they all had big moments either this past week or big moments to come. They're all a bit of a focus. So why don't we just start with good old Baron Corbin? Dave, he is a man that has fallen on tough times. He's full on being bullied by Nakamura and Rick Boogs now. And all we know is that the WWE has copyrighted something by the name of Happy Corbin. And I feel like the dude whose name I can't remember, who plays Baron Corbin, we are about to see a babyface Baron Corbin coming up soon. At least that's what I think. And I really don't know how this is going to go over or where this is going to go. I imagine them trying to make this guy do comedy, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, and okay, so this is the thing about Baron Corbin. For me, he's been a heel his entire run, has
Pretty
he
much.
Not?
Pretty much. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And who can you say has ever done that before? Like, there's always, you always flip-flop back and forth. But this guy has been a heel the entire time. So I'm kind of interested to see what they do. If they do make this a Happy Corbin type of thing, because this is brand new news to me. Like, when you told me this, I was just like, whoa, wait a minute. And then I got intrigued, and I kind of want to see where this goes.
Do you feel a certain kinship to Baron Corbin, Dave, because of the hairline that he's now started to show off? Yours is actually better than his, because his is really... Remember when he used to have the straggles and we were doing What's Next at the time? We're like, yes, this dude's got to shave his head.
Yeah, and then he did, and everybody hated him no matter what. And like, it's true. Like, I've got a nice widow's peak going on, and it kind of looks like the McDonald's symbol on my forehead. But like, what are you gonna do? And you gotta go with what you're given, and he's going with what he's given.
Well, I actually think it's a directive, Dave. I really think it's a directive saying, hey, don't shave, look even more pathetic. Because if you follow Baron Corbin on Instagram, which I do, I follow Baron Corbin, this dude, he looks like a likable guy. He's a guy that loves smoking meat, right?
And smoke meat.
Yeah, like he just, and he loves his liquor, and he just seems kind of a cool dude, but on WWE TV he is just made fun of constantly. So I'm curious to see what they end up doing with this guy and how he works with it. I mean, as much as we rip on Baron Corbin, you know, when he is on the mic, he is a guy. If you remember back to when he was that like assistant GM character, he's a guy who does have the ability to take WWE scripts and make them work for him.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's one of the things that I liked about him, because no matter what he's given, he takes that ball and he runs with it, because he knows his role. He knows what he's supposed to do, and he knows his strengths and his weaknesses as well. So like, why not? Why not give him this and see what happens? Because I'm quite confident in the fact that he will make it, because like you said, he is a very likable character.
I did not say that he was a very likable character.
If you follow Twitter and Instagram, he is.
Okay. Human.
I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Yeah, he's a likable human, if you will. But yeah, he sure does like his meat, and wow, that's a heck of a lot of meat that he eats.
Let's talk about the few call-ups. Now, you're normally on, and a lot of your specialty when you are on, along with our NXT Talk guys, is following NXT. And, you know, we're seeing a lot more NXT people pop up, including this week on SmackDown, we saw Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart pop up. That was a little bit of a surprise to me, because we saw Tegan Nox and the recharging battery on NXT, and all of a sudden she's back with Shotzi, and where did Ember Moon go? To be honest with you, Dave, I think Tegan could have really used the run in NXT, and Shotzi and Ember, to me, were an actual better tag team mix than Tegan and Shotzi.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one, because it kind of caught me off guard when they did that. Like, watching the Great American Bash, and they had that battery logo and everything right at the beginning, and then for her to come out in her 1990s grunge outfit.
That was weird. I know. Like,
the giant shirt.
Huge.
Like, that is massive shirt.
She borrowed it from a giant Joey Lawrence. Like, it was really strange.
Giant Joey Lawrence. Oh, that's great. I love it. I'm going to steal it. But yeah, but I think what the WWE is thinking here is that, well, we tried Ember Moon, and we did. They tried Ember Moon, and you know what? She didn't work, and so they're just going to leave her there. But like, you're right.
Wait, why do you say Ember Moon didn't work? I feel like Ember Moon worked, and I think Ember and Shotzi together actually made the look of the tag team. It was very Mad Max, and I think the pairing works very well together. I mean, I would argue also, if they were to have taken Ember and put her on the SmackDown side with Shotzi, that actually benefits Shotzi as well, because she's with a character that some fans may recognize when they go back. As opposed to Tegan, now you're dealing with two new characters that fans have, mainstream fans would have no idea who these two are if they don't happen to watch NXT.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But what I was saying is that they tried her on the main roster, and she just didn't work. Ember Moon, that is.
I see.
And that's why they don't want to bring her back up, because they're like, they got to try something new, and this is new. But I really think that Tegan Knox could have, like you said, could have benefited from a bit longer run on NXT, because it's like you bring her right back and then 3 days later, boom, she's on SmackDown. How does that work?
Well,
like,
I think
what's the intelligence there?
Yeah, they might be doing both here, because she's got to finish out something with Candace, and now she's already up doing the tag team with Shotzi here. And along with that, I mean, the mix and match is continuing. There's clearly panic going on backstage, and we're finally getting some shifting, because along with that, we saw a vignette this week of one of your all-time favorites.
Oh, boy.
Tony Storm making her way to SmackDown. Dave, putting aside your feelings for Tony Storm, do you believe that she comes up as a babyface or a heel?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I'm going to say that they'll bring her up as a face.
I disagree. I think a heel.
Well, she's good looking. She's got a likable personality of sorts.
I agree.
And I think that benefits her as a face, and then just turn her heel when the time is right. But the fact that they've been hotshotting these people up on the main roster without them even finishing off, like you said, that Tegan has this ongoing a feud with Candace.
Yep.
Well, you think about it, who's going to win that feud if Tegan's already debuting on SmackDown? Like, she's not going to go up on SmackDown as the tag champs, or I guess she's not the tag champs, but you know what I mean. Like, she's not going to win and then move up.
I disagree. I think she will actually win. I think Tegan will go over Candace because she's the baby face in the situation, and she's also returning from an injury. So I do think that she wins that storm, which, you're right, is unfortunate going away from a territory without losing to put someone else over, but I do think she needs that win upon moving up. So I see her working both for a while. Tony Storm, I could see her coming up as a heel, just looking ahead to the fact that we do have a babyface champion. And now Bianca needs a new challenger as well, because Bayley's out of the mix for a while. That hurts this brand huge. Bayley is the MVP of this brand, whether a babyface or even better as a heel recently. Like, she is the greatest. She is arguably the best female performer in WWE, and I was really hoping that they would proceed forward. I threw out an idea last week about Bianca and Bayley, and Bayley eventually getting her head shaved with Bianca. Now Carmella is in that mix. Well, that's terrible. And I guess that leads us to who does come out of the women's Money in the Bank with the win, because right now it looks like a disaster. Asuka, Naomi, Alexa, Nikki, Liv, Zelina. Like, what's Zelina even doing in there?
Yeah, that one's a really, really good question. And then there's two more to be.
Yes.
And like, what do you do? Like, who do you put there?
Well, I think one is Becky.
Is Becky ready?
Yes, Becky's ready. Becky's ready. Becky's trained. Becky's coming back. I think one is Becky. I think this is the return of Becky Lynch. I got to figure also that we will be, a week from today, it's Money in the Bank, and it will be one of the very first shows, definitely your second pay-per-view with fans in attendance here, because they did do WrestleMania with it. But the kickoff to pay-per-views and all events being back with fans, and I think that is an incredible return for Becky Lynch, also winning the Money in the Bank. So, and I know we don't like to say baby faces with the Money in the Bank aren't as good as heels, but Becky doing the honest John Cena challenge to one of the two performers that has it, I think would work very well. However, I'd lean her towards the Raw side of things as opposed to her and Bianca. Her and Bianca do nothing for me. Her and Rhea, I'm intrigued.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, and Rhea's golden, even though I don't really like her facials that much. But I would totally get into that. But also, you'd have, like, I'd like to see Tegan Knox and Becky Lynch as well, because I think that would go very well as well.
I'm sure there's time for it. It's just a matter of, like, we're a ways away from that. What about the men's side of things, Dave? Seth qualified for Money in the Bank this week. He already teased in a promo cashing in on Roman that night. I could 100% see that happening, and I think they might have dropped the breadcrumb in having him do that promo.
How so?
Well, he teases cashing in on Roman that night. So it could be the same thing that he did at WrestleMania 31.
With the triple threat.
Yes. So he comes in, they're both down because Roman's going to be facing off against Edge, much like he did when Roman was facing Lesnar at WrestleMania 31. But this time, he's unsuccessful. Edge is the one who screws him over. And we did have a couple weeks ago, I think Meltzer stated on this very show, that Edge versus Rollins is your match for SummerSlam. So if that's the case, that leads you into it very nicely with Edge costing Rollins the title, and that gets a heat between those two.
So Roman retains.
Yep.
These two spin off on their own thing.
Yep. And then Roman
I kind of like that. Like those two together, I bet you that'd be a fantastic match.
Yeah. I mean, and Edge can finally play out the babyface that he should have been all along.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing WWE, maybe they'll reverse it and Edge will somehow be the heel.
Yeah. Yeah. We could see that as well. Oh, my God.
It just frees up Roman and keeps him as champion so that John Cena can return, providing he can get out of doing this new movie he's doing, Argyle, and show up at SummerSlam to be able to be Roman's opponent. And Roman can beat him, too.
So we've got Ricochet, John Morrison, Riddle, Drew McIntyre, Big E, Kevin Owens, Nakamura, and Rollins.
That is correct. I mean, who else could you see winning out of those guys?
Ugh. God, I hope not Drew.
Well, it could be. I mean, it could be. That's my second most likely would be Drew, and then Riddle would be number three. I give no chance to anyone else.
No, definitely not Ricochet.
or Morrison, or Big E, or Owens, or Nakamura. Like
King Nakamura.
Sure, King Nakamura.
Yeah, he's got to finish up with Happy Corbin, right?
I guess. Maybe down the line so Corbin can get his crown back. But I really don't see anything there. I mean, Drew winning and then challenging Roman could very well be something down the line because he's not allowed to challenge Lashley over on Raw. And Riddle winning could have something to do with Orton, but I think ultimately those two should play out still into the tag picture or do a program under themselves where a title is not needed.
Yeah, definitely not. You don't need, Orton does not need a title. He's over like crazy already.
Let's take a look at the NXT side of things, Dave, because, you mentioned this when we started here. Great American Bash, you were all the praise when I called you today talking about how much you loved this event on Wednesday. Nope, Tuesday night.
Tuesday night, yeah. And it was great. Start to finish, it was fantastic, minus the hit row thing.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. I kind of knew that you were, I think you and I, as 40-something white dudes, need to take a step back out of this.
Yeah, that's the thing. I kept on thinking, am I just old?
Yes. The answer is we're old.
Yeah, and I just kept on thinking of Mom's Spaghetti and M&M's, whatever. What was that, 8 Mile? It felt like 8 Mile to me, like a real bad 8 Mile.
It wasn't bad. That's the thing. I mean, think about what has been done with wrestling gimmicks and rap previous to this. I mean, R-Truth was our latest example of this.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, I mean, it went long. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not going to remove myself from saying it went long, but it establishes them. It was very different. It was fresh. Different is good. This to me can be the new dominant faction in NXT. It's not aimed at us, you and I, 40-something white dudes, but it shouldn't be aimed at us. And I think it's fine. I think all of these guys are performers, good performers. I think all of these guys are establishing themselves as good characters. And my only unfortunate thing is because I lived with the guy for many years, Top Dollar reminds me of Braden Harrington.
You texted me that and I was just like, oh my God, it really, really does.
From
and
the vest to the wrapping, like I'm watching Braden.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Now maybe I like them, but it's something that, I think that we are supposed to play the role as the ones that boo them. Like you said, we're the 40-something white dudes that are just like, oh, come on. But I don't know if I can see them as a dominant faction.
No?
I guess we'll see going forward. I'm not very well versed with each one of these in the ring.
But they're so new though, Dave. They're just so new. I think they're doing I think that they're giving them so much television time that these guys are right now they're building. They're all building. Mm-hmm. They've already got a title on Swerve Scott's shoulder. So I think that these guys have a lot going for them right now, and I do think that management is behind them. And here's the thing. I can also see, granted, I've said this before, but Undisputed Era, but I can also see these guys and this entire act moving from NXT to one of the other brands.
Really? Well, who's going to be left on NXT?
No, no, not now. I just mean as a whole. I think that they're portrayed as a very strong act. And I think that they have potential to take this act with them. And hopefully they do. I really think it's a mistake. Like, they had the Undisputed Era and they broke it up, but there was so much more life to the Undisputed Era that they could have taken to a whole nother brand. Granted, they had size working against them. Mm-hmm. And at least these guys do have Top Dollar, who is a big dude in this faction.
Yeah, he's very, very, very big dude. But like, you think about it, like what other factions have come out of NXT that have gone up to the main roster? Like, I can't think of any. Am I missing somebody?
The Wyatts.
Am I missing somebody?
It's been a while. Yeah, the Wyatts came out of NXT.
Granted, that's it. But it seems like they just keep on breaking up these factions that are like money, and then they move them up, and then they move them back down. And they just there's no success for anybody. And you're right, the Undisputed Era, I think that... Do I think that would have worked on the main roster?
It would have been tough. It would have been tough due to size, but it could have if they had let it breathe, if they had let it go. I mean, but we can say that about so many gimmicks coming out of NXT. That if they're the thing is, if these gimmicks are successful in NXT, they have every reason to be successful in other places. But there seems to be such a need to change the gimmick before it goes to the so-called main roster. And once you get too many cooks in the kitchen, it ruins the magic that was already there as a success. The funny thing is, I have actually noticed with Karrion Kross and all the rumors around Karrion Kross, I would argue that the Karrion Kross gimmick hasn't really worked all that well in NXT. I believe it's been forced down people's throats. It's been forced down our throats for sure. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that. It hasn't really worked. I'd say it has improved recently because they've taken away like the fantasy aspect and mystical aspect. And now he's just kind of a big dude. And now they're considering moving him. Now, what I do question is removing Scarlett from that act, because I do think that they are better together.
I'll agree with that. But what I found interesting on this show this week was that he actually mentioned headlining WrestleMania, becoming the WWE champion. And it's just like, whoa, you're getting ahead of yourself. So maybe they are getting ready for him to move.
Oh, and there's no doubt.
And you know what? In my mind, he would work much better on the main roster than he is in NXT right now.
So if that's the case, Dave, this week we have Karrion Kross versus Johnny Gargano with Samoa Joe as the special ref. Johnny Gargano has been tremendous in his role with The Way. We've both loved what he's doing. You've turned full circle on Johnny Gargano and love him now. But we do have two people that have been presented as heels. Karrion Kross, a very serious heel. Johnny Gargano, a very comedic and funny heel. Samoa Joe is in the mix. Well, Joe's the babyface in this match that is not a three-way.
Yeah, that's true. And you got Johnny Gargano with his wife's jeans on. So I thought that was fantastic. Like, Johnny Gargano is money right now. And you know what? I think it's just a couple of weeks away from him turning full baby.
So what do you do here, though? Like, does the comedic Johnny Gargano win the title this week? Does Joe cross the title? Because that could happen. Or
I could see that.
Despite Joe's interference, does Kross retain?
It comes down to, are they going to be using Joe as an in-ring competitor or not? Because I like him as what he is right now, the enforcer to William Regal. I think that's good for him. And I what else are they going to do? Are they going to put him in the ring versus Karrion Kross just to lose?
I don't know if he'd lose. I think that putting the title on Joe could spark you up an Adam Cole Samoa Joe program that can lead you into the summer and fall.
Oh boy, I did not even think of that at all. I do like that, though.
anything Joe touches is pretty much gold at this point. He's by far the most intriguing personality on the NXT brand. My question, though, is, you know, you've got Gargano in this spot. You've got a way of getting the belt on Gargano by Joe being in the mix here. And it can also be a way of getting the title off Cross, which, by the way, they could have easily done, as we talked about in that last five-way. But does it hurt? In your opinion, does it hurt putting the serious NXT title, which has always been kept pretty pristine, on your comedic Johnny Gargano heel?
Why not? I don't think it's a bad thing at all. He's been like hitting home runs this entire time. Like everything, like Christ, I was the biggest hater on Johnny Gargano for so long. And then he changed, and it was just like, oh my God, he's amazing, and I'd love to see him with the title. I don't see why not. Like, as long as it's not on Diamond Mine.
Where are they?
I don't know. And why is Blue Rodeo not doing their theme song?
Yeah, we did that last week on the show, but it's just like Diamond Mine. This is a classic stop and start. So they bring Diamond Mine out, the debut. They go after, right after the main event, there's an attack. And then all of a sudden, there's only one of them on the next week. Stokely Hathaway doesn't even, or Malcolm Bivens, doesn't even get to really cut a promo. He just says they're open for business. And then they're not even on this week's show at all.
Well, there was a little clip there of them.
Oh, did I miss? I probably missed that. What did I miss?
It was a tiny little clip of last week, and it showed them. And that's where I got my introduction to them. I'm like, wait, what? What did I miss?
Oh, wow.
I saw the wrestling dad, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, it's to me this is they're setting this up to fail just because there's no follow through. On this Diamond Mine. Granted, I mean, it could come around, and maybe they're just, if they are just waiting it out till they make these moves like Karrion Kross and Bronson Reed, which we know are coming, and they're waiting for Diamond Mine to kind of fill the gap after that while they're now focusing on Hit Row, that's fine. But if that's the case, then don't debut them till everyone is gone and put the big push on them at that time. The stop and start is killer. We've seen it over and over again in NXT. We've seen it over and over again for Malcolm Bivens, for that matter, who continues to get guys and then stop with guys and start and stop. It's not good for characters. It doesn't get fans behind them.
Yeah, because he had those two real big guys there for, what,
into
2 weeks?
Yeah, they're now hanging out with Jinder. One more thing I want to talk about is this week we did see a title change. We saw Zoe Stark and Io Shirai defeating the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, The Way, which is Candice and Indy. You know, this to me was my least favorite part of this week's show. Reason being, I hate when a title changes and the title change is the B storyline, because the A storyline here was the return of Tegan Nox in her giant plaid shirt. The B storyline was the fact that the title changed.
Well, you might even put that down to C, because I think the B storyline was Dexter Lumis carrying out Indy Hartwell as well. So it's just like, oh, okay. So it just seemed like it was all kinds of confusion. Oh, yeah, and these guys now have the belts.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
They came back to them. It's an odd pairing. I think that I've mentioned it on the show before. I think it's good for Zoe because she's paired with Io, and Io is established, but Io shouldn't even be on this brand anymore. And it's funny, Io shouldn't be on this brand, yet she's not the one that's moved. It's Tegan that is moved, and Tony that is going to be moved, and Shotzi that is moved, yet Io is still just sitting here on this brand. I'm just sitting here thinking 75-year-old Vince McMahon is like, well, we already have an Asuka.
Well, yeah, that too. And also the three that you mentioned beforehand can cut promos in English.
Oh, you're very, very right. Mm-hmm. And I dare I say put her with a manager, but nope, they don't do that.
Nope.
No go on that. All right, that wraps up our radio portion with Bartender Dave. Do keep in mind, if you are a patron, Dave and I will be chatting AEW and a bunch of great stuff that happened this week on Dynamite. We'll be doing that for our bonus portion, SNME, where the E stands for extra. Next, want to get that? Find us at patreon.com/SNME Radio. Podcasts each and every day when you sign up there for only $1 a week. So, but here on the show next week, we will be back. Meltzer will join me. My co-host will be Dan the Mouth Lavransky, and we'll double down next week doing the afternoon syndicated show and, of course, our live Money in the Bank special as well. So stick with us. Next week, we'll be back for that. You've been listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. Don't you dare miss it.
Hooray!
Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Would be lovely if you drop us a rating in your podcatcher, iTunes, etc. And along with that, if you want a commercial-free version of this show that is also extended and it comes out early, it's like Sunday afternoon's Main Event, then you can sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. We may be on the radio, however, this is how the show is actually supported. It's all through you guys and the Patreon. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Thank you.